Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. Happy Hump Day, Squad, and welcome back to episode 71 of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm so excited for today's interview episode with my fellow online nutrition coach, Bethany Taylor. Bethany and myself have been IG friends for quite some time now and just recently got to connect in this podcast episode. And I'm so glad that we did because Bethany and I consider ourselves to be among the black sheep on the internet. We know that the sustainable, life-giving, nourishing nutrition strategy message is not nearly as sexy as the quick fix, skinny tea detox diet culture message. But we have been there. We've tried those things. We've destroyed our bodies and we know better. And it's exactly why we've committed to sharing this message and shouting it from the rooftops and preaching to those of you who are ready to hear what we have to say. So today's interview episode is packed with so much value. I think you'll find that Bethany echoes and affirms a lot of what we talk about here in the Nutrition with Nicole Squad. And I'm just so excited for you to hear from someone else who is in the trenches with me and knows true nutrition science, what actually matters in the big picture, and how you can live your best, happiest, healthiest life. Well, Bethany, thanks so much for allowing me to interview you on today's podcast episode. I know that you have so much to share and I want everyone listening to just receive all that value from you. But before we dive into the nitty-gritty, tell us a little bit about who you are, what you love, what you do. Give us the nutshell version.
Perfect. Thank you again, obviously, for having me on the podcast. I know we have very similar views in coaching style, so I was very grateful that you asked me to speak on this platform. For those of you who don't know, I am Bethany Taylor. I am the owner of Iron Soul Wellness, so I am a nutritionist, and I help people, particularly women, help give them a space to have permission to fiercely own their worth, build ironclad confidence with food. I love educating women to eat for life and helping them find freedom via food and exercise and learn how to properly fuel their bodies from a place of nourishment versus a place of restriction, and just help support them and educate them along this journey because it can be very confusing, especially in a space with all the wealth of information, good and bad, coming into the space, and really just giving them the power and helping them find power to create this life they're proud of and just to do hard things bravely.
And you mentioned this at the beginning, Bethany, you and I have such similar messages that we try to share. The one thing that I love about your messaging consistently is eat more. Nourish your body more so you can perform better, as opposed to the diet culture mantra that's always eat less, exercise more, right? Shrink your body, smaller is better. And it's so refreshing to see your content just focused from a nutrient dense standpoint, but realizing how powerful food can be as opposed to fearing it and following these really restrictive rules. So I'm curious, because I don't really know, what do your clients come to you looking for specifically? Are they looking for to eliminate the food rules and the fear? Are they looking for fat loss? Are they training for events? Like what, and I'm sure it varies person to person, but what primarily are the goals that your clients are coming to you to achieve?
Absolutely. So I do have a pretty wide range of clients, and I was talking to somebody else the other day about our stories as coaches are going to be the type of clients we attract, just because they know we've lived in this space. We've been through this. We know what it feels like to follow a templated meal plan that's very restrictive, or try a bunch of different diets for fat loss or whatever your goals may be. So about probably 70% of my clients are coming to me saying, I no longer want to yo-yo diet. I don't want to binge. I want to feel finally good in my body. Yeah, there are clients who do want fat loss, which is totally fine. However, there's so much more to life in along the journey than just fat loss. We primarily focus on building those sustainable habits and just those behavior changes, so that when we do get to that point of, hey, we are in a safe place to diet, we have to earn our rights to diet. You cannot be eating 1200 calories and then expect for fat loss to happen. It's unsustainable. It's not safe. If we've been dieting for between 3 months and 12 years of our lives, continually pulling food away from our bodies is not going to happen. So we practice implementing eating more food, and not just like, hey, let's go eat like 2000 more calories. Like, no, this is, we are a very educational based platform too. Just understanding why we're doing all this and the periods of nutrition that we should be following to make sure we are in a safe and healthy state to successfully diet. So I do have clients who come to me, some of them just like, hey, I want to feel better, and like the scale means nothing to me. I'm like, that's awesome. Cool. What are you currently eating right now? How much? What kind of food do you like to eat? Like, there's no restrictive food rules. So a lot of people come to me, I want to improve my relationship with food. Awesome. Here you go. There's no foods that you cannot eat, and there's no good or bad foods. It's a lot of it's changing the narrative too, and like what we've been told for years of our lives, that we just need to eat less, just move more. You're not doing good enough. Try this, try that. Somebody did this. It should work for you. You're not working hard enough. When it's like, hey, let's pump the brakes. Let's just not diet, because you've been trying to diet for a year to 12 years of your life. Let's just take a step back, breathe. Let's work on slowly increasing food so your energy improves. Your hormones and your thyroid values may have been down regulated for the past however many years, so things still aren't going to shift, even if you're cutting calories and dropping calories. So we really do an all-encompassing, like, dig into the roots of things coaching journey, and a lot of it's going to be the mindset part too. And we'll talk more about this, but we're pretty much going against the grain of what society has told us to do for years, and like that is a very big mental barrier for people to get through. So everyone's journey is going to look very different, but that's kind of like a little bit of everything.
I am obsessed with the fact that you said you have to earn your right to fat loss, because I use something called Nutrition with Nicole Roadmap for my clients. And we talk about how step one is never fat loss. You don't just get to start losing body fat right away, right? You have to build a really solid foundation. You have to make sure that you're nourished adequately, that you have these fundamental habits and behaviors in place first. And then maybe once you're ready, what are some of the things, because mindset is huge, what are some of the things that you notice your clients have to spend some time unlearning when they start working with you? Because our clientele is super similar, right? Like diet culture junkies, I'm over it. It's robbing joy from my life. I want something that leaves me feeling good, that lasts long term. I don't want to think about food or my body as much as I have been obsessing over it before. And I find that that comes with a lot of like lies and limiting beliefs, that step one is like, we've got to throw that out because it's not serving you. Absolutely. What are some of the limiting beliefs that you identify with your clientele?
So there's a few things that come to mind when I'm helping clients unlearn things that they've been told forever. So I don't remember who this was, but it's pretty much refugees of diet culture. They're coming to me like, I no longer want to feel this way. I've been trying things for 10 years. I've been unsuccessful. I just don't feel my best. I can't show up fully in life because I'm just restricting. The biggest one is giving themselves permission to eat more food. It blows people's minds when they come to me for fat loss. If you have not been following me or my like group of friends on social media, because it's a new concept, like, wait, I'm trying to lose weight. Why would I eat more food? And they're just like, mind blown. And it takes a lot of repetition up front and just laying it out. Here's why it's so important to nourish our bodies. You're going to continuously be unsuccessful and not feel your best and not hit all your health markers if we're just cutting food. That's just not a way to live. So the biggest one is helping people be okay with the fact that they are allowed to eat more food, even though they've been literally told for years that they just need to eat less. So the first first 6 months, we're just getting them comfortable with, hey, we're going to bump food a little bit. Let's just like, okay, so when you have your sweet potatoes or your hash browns for breakfast or whatever, let's just add a little bit more in there. Let's just see what happens. Add like another serving of it. And then over time, we had these really hard conversations up front about like, well, I'm not seeing fat loss. Well, we're not there yet. We are not in a space to fat loss. But 3 months in, maybe even 2 weeks in, they're like, I feel so much better. I'm like, hallelujah. Like, there we go. They just need that. They need to feel that feeling of like, God, I feel, I have energy. I don't have brain fog anymore. I can get through my workouts. I don't feel like crap when I'm done. My recovery isn't super poor. I slept through the night. Like, I haven't slept through the night in 10 years. Well, your body was starving when it was going to sleep. So of course it's going to be all over the place with blood sugar. And so when they start to see these things and feel these things, like, Bethany, I understand what you're talking about. So again, that's like, honestly, the biggest one is learning to eat more food. And a couple people I've been talking to recently about overtraining too. That's going to be a big one. We think that we constantly need to be doing excessive cardio or lifting weights 7 days a week, when in fact, like, rest days are equally important than training days. It's the time where we give our bodies that chance to recover and rebuild and get stronger and rest. So that's another one. We're always thinking that we just need to keep moving and keep doing things, hitting 12,000 steps a day, obsessively. I'm all about movement. Like, guys, I love going for walks, but I think overtraining is another really big one. Those are like our two like heavy hitters. And just, an example, like a client I was talking, she's like, how am I able to, my watch told me I burned this many calories, but I'm eating more than that and stuff like that. So like, there's these little technology trackers. I love them. They're great for data, but like, we're more worthy and we're way more complicated than a watch can tell us. So it's just these little things, like little myths that they've been kind of like put in their ear for the past however many years. And we're trying to kind of pull them out the other side, like eating past a certain time at night. It's okay to eat past 7 p.m. Like, it's fine. Like, nothing's, for the general population, you're good to go. Like, if you need to eat at 9, 10, like if that's just what your schedule allows, shift workers, you're eating at 2 a.m. You got to eat. That's just when you're awake. So it's a lot of just random myths that they, sometimes they're almost afraid to ask. Like, this may sound silly. It's maybe a dumb question. Like, hey, there's no dumb questions. Like, that's why I'm here. I want you to ask me all the things that you've been curious about for the past 10 years of your life so I can help you move through them.
Totally. Experience is our teacher, right? And if diet culture is all we know, yeah, we have to unlearn some of those things that we once thought to be truth. Something you mentioned, I want to ask you about, Bethany. A lot of clients, I remind them, we want to feel better before we can make aesthetics the goal, before we look better, before we perform better. We have to feel, like you mentioned with the carbohydrates, like, oh my gosh, I have so much more energy now. How do you help a client to acknowledge that feeling that way, better health markers, improved energy, improved workout performance is better than or weighted more heavily than aesthetic changes? Because a lot of the time I will have conversations with clients who come from that very deeply rooted diet culture place and will say, but the scale's not moving, but I'm not leaner. I'm not getting anywhere when it comes to like body composition. And that's what I want, Nicole. And I think this circles around to what we know we want to talk about, which is the patience principle. But what do you tell clients who are like, I just want to look better already?
Yeah. And those are the hardest conversations I have. And I have them a lot more upfront with clients until they just get, they're like, they can finally be like, okay, what I've been doing for however long has not worked for me. Maybe I do need to try this new path. So aesthetics, a lot of people chase aesthetics, which is fine, improving body composition. But when, so I tell people, if you're cool, you get super lean, super shredded, but you don't enjoy life, you're not able to go on date nights with your husband and have whatever you want to eat. You can't have the cheesecake that you love for your birthday, that you have every year. You can't, again, you can't sleep at night. You're waking up, you're groggy, but you have abs. Like, is it worth it for you to have a six pack, or is it worth it for you to be able to go on a long hike with your family and not feel fatigued? And it sounds gruesome, but like, when you're at your funeral and people are giving your eulogy and talking about how incredible you are, they're not going to be talking about the fact that you were a size 4 when you were 30 years old, or the fact that you had shredded abs. They're going to be like, Bethany had so much zest for life. She was out there doing hard things. She was challenging people. She was just a fun loving individual. She was always just like super stoked on life. Like, they're going to be talking about that and not how toned your arms were. Or, and it sounds so much easier. Like, I put these hard and unique thoughts in my clients' heads because I want them to realize, yes, we can get to a place where fat loss is sustainable. We can get there, and I understand that. But along the way, you have to just be able to love life and just feel nourished, because it's going to be completely, you're going to get there and be so unfulfilled with, because you just bypassed all of these sustainable rock solid foundations that you needed to build. And you're just not able to show up for life fully, if that makes sense. Like, you can't, cool, you can have a six pack abs, that's great, awesome, but like, what was the journey leading up to it? Did you learn anything? When you get there, then what? Do you know, like, what are you going to do after? You're going to stay there forever? How much of a deficit are you in? Like, it's a very unique space, and that's why coaching is so personalized, because everyone's very unique in how far along their journey they are and how much of their headspace real estate is taken up from just chasing this goal. And I ask why, like, what are you going to be a better mother, athlete, wife, friend, employee if you have abs, or if you're 5 pounds lighter? Are you going to be a better human? Most of the answer, they say no. Again, we can get to fat loss. We can get there eventually. But along the way, we need to find worth in the life that we're living, and just like the fullness of just the zest we have for life and our ability to just to be present and not feel like we are constantly like restricting ourselves. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And it's something I really resonate with. I mean, you mentioned earlier, we help our clients because we've been there. Like, we've been in that really messed up scenario. And I can remember, you know, at my leanest, I was probably the most unhappy. And it just, you know, we have learned that body composition can't be connected to our worth and our value. And we can have those awesome goals, right? Those are the mountaintops, but we have to learn how to appreciate the journey and rest every once in a while and just like enjoy the scenery. I think that's so important. I think some of us get caught up in like destination addiction. Like, I'm not going to be happy until I get there, or until I'm that weight or that body fat percentage.
Absolutely. And I think that, and it's hard too, because I'll use myself an example. So when I was my leanest and I was my smallest, I was getting complimented for being that way. So it felt good. I was like, oh, people are noticing me. I'm super lean. I'm super shredded. No one knew what it took to get there, and that I wasn't truly happy. I thought I would be happy. I lost my period. I was eating very minimal carbohydrates. I was obsessed about food. We went to a bonfire and I brought a Tupperware container with me to eat that food instead of the hot dogs that we were grilling. Like, I got to a place where I was so obsessed with it, and but no one knew that. People always saw, oh, she's super lean, super shredded, and we're glorifying that. I had to reverse calories. At that point, I was like, I feel like absolute shit. I cannot continue to live this way. So I had to gain weight. I literally gained 8 pounds, and I'm sitting at where I am now, the healthiest, the strongest, the fastest I've ever been in my entire life. But this is the heaviest I've ever been. And it's hard, because when we go through journeys too, people are always looking at the pic at you as a person. If you see someone gain weight, oh, they let themselves go. They're all these negative comments. I'm like, you don't know any. They may be restoring their health. They may be, their hormones may be so imbalanced that they need to just nourish their bodies, and they may be on HRT. They may be changing how the internal under the hood's happening, and they had to gain weight in the process. I don't know why, where this came from. I mean, I know why, it's social media, that gaining weight is a negative thing. In the reverse, when you're reverse dieting, slowly increasing more food, incorporating more food, you may gain weight. Your body composition may change, but you're chasing safety. In order for our bodies to positively adapt, they have to feel safe. They don't feel safe, they're not going to change. I would personally, obviously, I would rather maybe not have abs and be like, dude, I feel good. I can eat a bagel and not even second guess that I'm eating a bagel. I'm like, cool. I need carbohydrates. There's protein in it. Boom. Good to go. I'm about to go work out. So like, that's where I want my clients to be. I want their relationship with food. They can look at a cheeseburger and be like, this is a cheeseburger. It's going to be delicious. Yeah, maybe a little higher fat content because we're eating grass-fed beef. However, I don't feel like I need to go and work out after, or I don't feel like I only can eat half of it because of the calories. Like, I want them to look at food and be like, this is amazing. My relationship with food is incredible because I can look at it, enjoy it, and know what my body needs and know I'm nourishing it. Life is too short not to have a burger if you want it, or french fries, or if you want to have sweet potato fries, or like have the cupcake that your friends brought. Like, life is too short not to enjoy those things.
Amen. I agree. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that you are clearly doing some amazing work with your clients, and a lot of it is going to resonate so much with the messaging that I try to share to my clientele. And the one thing that I want you to just shout from the rooftops, Bethany, and I know this is something you already do, I think you can't hear it often enough, is timeline. Let's talk about timeline, because earlier you said for the first 3 months, the first 6 months, I am just helping my clients to lay those foundational habits, to make sure that they're nourished, to talk about things that we need to unload and unlearn and make sure that they are changing their habits and their behaviors and their relationship with food before we maybe focus on body composition changes. Tell me, if you have a client that's like, hey, Bethany, I want to reach this goal in 30 to 60 days, what's the timeline that you give them to help anticipate like true lasting change? Like, hey, girlfriend, here's what it's actually going to look like. Walk us through that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is another thing that's pretty mind blowing to people. Like, most of my clients are with me from 6 to 12+ months. Like, we are in this for the long haul, my friends. Like, I tell them, like, we're going to become best friends. I'm going to know everything about you. You're going to know everything about me, because we just talk so much. And like, so the periodization is really hard. I'm very upfront with people like that are like, hey, I have this in 4 weeks. I need to look this way. I said, I'm not a good fit for you, and I can help you refer them out to somebody else. I'm very upfront with, like, we're going to be digging into the word work for a while. I wrote a post on this the other day. So, like, give yourself 12 months. If you've been past dietary history, you've been trying different fad diets, going yo-yo dieting, going on and off, whatever diet you're trying, you give yourself 12 months to educate yourself and just build this rock solid badass foundation of knowledge and understanding and purpose. You're going to be more successful and happy in that 12-month period, post 12 months, than you would be if you just tried to do something quick. So like, quick and drastic action leaves us with temporary and unsatisfying results. I could literally cut carbs and just make you eat 1,000 calories a day. Yeah, you'd probably get shredded. You would hate your life. And then you'd be right back to where you started. So just removing, the hardest thing is removing the thinking that progress, or thinking that you always having to always are always having to make progress. So in this 12 months, you could literally stay the same weight. Weight could fluctuate some, and you may not feel like you're doing anything because your body looks the same, but there's so much going on internally under the hood and in your mind that is progressing, and you may not notice until you just are brought up in a situation and you just, your thought process shifts. You're like, oh wow, I can't believe I used to think that way. Well, I never used to be able to do this. You're like, you know what? I have been progressing. Like, I have been making these changes. So for like, if someone comes to me eating 1400 calories or 1200 calories, and they're like, I want to lose weight, I want to improve body composition, I'm like, okay, awesome. Just so you know, we're going to spend however many months it takes reversing. So slowly increasing more food until we're at that maintenance calorie point. And when we get there, we're going to hang out there, guys. Like, we're going to be there for like between 3 and 8 months of sitting at maintenance calories. And this is where we can get stronger. This is where all health markers can upregulate the ones that have been downregulated from dieting. So we're going to hang out there for a while, and we're going to be very patient in trusting the process. It sounds so cliche, and I hate saying it, but trusting the process is such an important piece of this, because you're going to look back in a year and be like, you know what? I wanted to progress this journey so much faster. I wanted immediate gratification. I wanted immediate results. But the fact that I put the time in and I was patient with myself and with my body, now look at me. I am in such a healthier headspace, a healthier space with my body, the relationship, the way I view my body. But when you're in the nitty gritty, you don't necessarily see it until you're on the other side. You're like, God, that was worth every hard conversation, every tear I shed, every negative thought I had, every hard work, every habit that I implemented. So it like, sustainability takes time and patience, and just know, like, I set the realistic expectation up front, it's going to take months, especially if you've come from a place of just being in the trenches of diet culture, because we got to shift what's going on between your ears first before anything else can happen, because that is what's going to help you be able to continue to move through life maintaining this awesome mindset.
Yes, yes. I think a lot of people underestimate the time that it takes. And what you said basically echoes everything that I would say to a client saying, hey, Nicole, I've got this wedding in 30 days. Let's go. Sorry, I've got a referral for you though.
Yeah,
I think sometimes we just underestimate, and you mentioned periodization earlier. I think one thing a lot of people fail to realize is even when you, let's say you reach that fat loss phase, you've created the strong foundation. Even when you get there, it's not just fat loss till you get to the goal, right? Like, maintenance is arguably so much more important than being in the deficit, because that's what you have to learn. It's sustainable success. You have to understand that your body can't be running hard after fat loss month after month after month. Like, we need breaks. We need periods where your body can just kind of refuel and recharge. And I think that's something where if I were to survey clients coming in, we're missing the mark completely. You know, I say, hey, we need a periodized plan, and let's talk about the whole calendar year, and what parts of your year are you going on vacation, and where's the most stressful season for you? And maybe let's build in, you know, a maintenance phase there. People are like, what? Like, I'm not going to stop till I reach the goal.
Yeah. And I know, absolutely. And I don't think there's enough talk about maintenance. I think it's either fat loss or like bulking, which only certain people are going to kind of fall into that, but it's usually like always fat loss, and they don't even necessarily know what maintenance is or what maintenance calories looks like or feels like. So like, the education part at the front end is super important, and just having resources for clients is something I do. Like, hey, here's some really great posts I've written. Here's some posts my other friends have written. Just read it, absorb it, take your time. You may not grasp all of it up front. That's totally fine. But as we go along, like, feel free to ask questions. Like, I want you to be very, I'll be very transparent with what's going on, but it kind of, again, blows their minds that like, I have to eat more food. Like, it's this, we're in this very like black sheep, like us, like you and me, and like some of my friends that are coaches too. Like, we're in this very black sheep, like, corner of the world where we're trying to like, influence and just show people that like, we should be spending 80% of our year just like crushing food, feeling good, lifting heavy weights if that's something we enjoy, running long distances. Like, a lot of people like, ah, I want to run a marathon. I'm like, hell yeah, that's awesome. I don't feel good after. I have this brain fog. And well, like, how long have you been training for marathon? 6 months. Eating 1400 calories. I'm like, girl, let's go. Like, it's going to slide carbs up. Like, we're going to, again, we're sitting at maintenance. And when you have a performance goal, That means we need to be eating enough food at maintenance or in a surplus. Aesthetics and performance and health are on two different ends of the spectrum, completely separate goals. We can't have them at the same time. If we're chasing health, if we're trying to upregulate things, if we're trying to run faster, lift heavier, get stronger, we need adequate calories coming in. If we want fat loss, if we want to get leaner, quote, whatever you want for your fat loss goal, we need to be in a deficit. Two completely ends of the spectrum. We can only be spending a few weeks eating in a deficit before we have to reverse back up and get back to crushing maintenance calories.
Black sheep, I love that. Yeah, we're the people on like the corner of the internet saying, our message is super unsexy, but it's the only one that matters. Please listen to us.
Well, sexy sells. It's so hard, I guess you could say, to sell, hey guys, we're going to spend more time not losing weight, even though I know that's what you want, and we're going to spend time changing behaviors, mindset, and habits and growing them. That's not sexy. No, like people are like, well, I want fat loss in 21 days. I want to do something. Can you just write me this meal plan so that I can just like eat it and lose a bunch of weight and like be happy and be done with it? I'm like, I mean, there's people out there that will take your money and do it for you, but you're going to end up so pissed off that you invested your money in that again. So we're not in a sexy space, but we are successful. We are sustainable. We are allowing women to finally feel how they deserve to feel. But again, that doesn't come with like a quick little like, oh yeah, just do these three things and like, you'll be good to go. Like, cool. Peace out. I'll see you in 12 weeks. Here's your progress pictures. And like, okay, good. Then what? How do you like now that then there's no education in that and there's no sustainability? And yeah, it's not sexy, but like it's sexy and it's cool. Once you get to the other side, you're like, God, that was so worth it. That was awesome. I can handle everything on my own now. Like the goal with coaching is not to work with your clients forever. Yeah, put that year in, put that work in, work on trusting your body, build that relationship with your coach. And when you're done, you'll be able to do all of this on your own, because you'll have so much knowledge and tools in your toolbox, you will never have to work with a coach again, because you've learned all these incredible things from putting the work in and putting that grit work in during that journey that you can carry it with you for the rest of your life. And then educate your kids, educate your family, educate your friends. Like you can then become a resource for them.
The return on investment is undoubtedly like there 110%. But I think, and I don't know if you noticed this, Bethany, but I have realized some of us have to learn the lesson the hard way before we get to a place where we're ready to receive the unsexy message. I know I sure did. And I work with so many clients who at the end of the journey are like, why didn't I do this sooner? Like, why couldn't I have tried this 10 years ago? And my response is like, well, you need to learn the lessons that got you here. Like, it's just your journey.
And you didn't know at that time, when even from like my story, I had no idea. I didn't have any education. So I saw these results all posted up. I saw these cool like six packs and super lean. I was like, oh, cool. I want that. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea. So I vividly remember I was angry at myself, but then I was like, I need to give myself grace. I had no idea. My social media feed was filled with these things I thought I wanted, and that's all I could think about. So that's all I was obsessing about. That's all I was doing. And then I got to the point where I was like, I can't live like this. So I cleaned up my social media feed. I started following psychologists and really powerful poets and stuff like that, just for like the mindset part of it, and coaches who I wanted to have a similar message. Like that's why I became a coach. So that no other female had to go through that. Or if they did, I can help them and support them and educate them getting back on top, getting on back on top of their game. It's tough knowing like you have to sometimes hit rock bottom in order to get back top, climb back on top of your mountain and yell from the rooftops, you know?
Yeah, you don't know what you don't know, and you can't fault yourself for that. Yeah. No. I think, thankfully, there are lots of people who are willing to listen and are at a place where they're ready to hear this message. And that's what we are here for. So let's dive into, Bethany, because I think a lot of people are trying the chronic fat loss. So let's dig into the science a little bit. Deficit long term. Can you tell us about some of the damage that we can potentially do, some of the negative consequences of being in a deficit for long periods of time.
Yep. So some of like the signs of not eating enough or that you've been in a deficit for too long can be, I was going to order them in important, but I'm just going to kind of rattle them off. So brain fog, irritability. The little things in life kind of piss you off. Like you're hangry all the time. So this one's tricky. You're either always hungry or you have no hunger at all. So those are kind of a unique one based on the person. Unable to sleep through the night, unable to build muscle, unable to perform in the gym like you want to, unable to hit PRs. Like you seem pretty stagnant with your performance in the gym. Hair loss can be another one. That's kind of when we get really into the nitty gritty of things. Like brittle nails are going to be another one. Just low energy. You're just fatigued all the time. No amount of sleep, energy drinks, or whatever, caffeine pills can help you maintain energy throughout the day. And you just don't feel good. You wake up, you're not excited for life. Like you should wake up and be like, dude, I'm well fueled. I'm ready to go. I feel fantastic. So those are going to be the big ones. Just not feeling amazing. Like you should literally, like I said, wake up and just feel good. Have energy to like go mow the lawn or go hang out with your friends and have coffee versus at 2 p.m. you're just dead. You just feel like absolute trash. So those are some of the ones. They're obviously not all like inclusive, but like those are going to be the big ones. And sometimes like in fat loss has stalled. If you have been trying to lose weight for X amount of weeks or years or whatever, and you're cutting calories, nothing is happening, you are absolutely in a place to slowly increase more food and sit at maintenance.
And if we do that, Bethany, let's say a client is working with yourself or myself and we're successfully periodizing the plan, what are the benefits of building in those seasons of maintenance?
Yeah, so that's something, again, that can ensure your body has that feeling of safety. When our bodies feel safe, we can optimally function. We can get stronger. We can feel really good about going on bike rides with our friends. We can go and crush the entire day. If we have a really big presentation to give at work, we feel good. We're on point. We're able to be focused. So when we're constantly just in a deficit, we just don't feel ourselves. And like our bodies are literally meant to be fed. Like I can't believe I'm saying this, but like we need calories in order to function. Like, period, end of story. You cannot get away from it. Like that is like written in stone. And if we're just spending time constantly trying to take away food, most likely we're going to binge eat. We're going to yo-yo diet. If we're eating enough food, we shouldn't have those binge tendencies. We shouldn't be yo-yoing because our bodies feel fed and fueled and safe. So like, cool. If I'm not going to go rummage in the kitchen for like all the sweets because I haven't eaten all day because I've been doing a 40-hour fast or whatever your thing is, whatever you're using for your fat loss tool. But I think it's so important, like just for the sheer, like our bodies are meant to be nourished. They deserve to be nourished in order to function, to live a full life, to live a long life, to live a healthy life. When you're 85, I want you climbing up mountains. I want you walking with your friends. I want you playing with your grandchildren or your kids or whatever. Like, that's why we should be feeding our bodies so that we can just live these really big and full lives. And we'll never have to say no to an adventure because we're too tired or we're under-recovered or we're always sore or we're not feeling our best selves. Like, that's kind of, I'm a huge advocate for just like I've quoted before, never saying no to adventure because we don't feel our best or we don't have enough food coming in for energy. Like calories give us energy. We kind of need food to come in order to function throughout the day. So I think if we become just so obsessed with losing fat and fat loss and dieting, we just lose ourselves. We lose how we're supposed to feel and how we deserve to feel. And we just can't do all the things we enjoy because we're just either so obsessed with like restriction or I can't eat this, I can't do this, I have to work out after this. And we just lose what life's all about, which is just living.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And I think the part where people struggle is how do you measure that? So for you and I, it's like, dude, you just told me that your energy level has skyrocketed and your sleep is better. And something that I like to track sometimes with clients is like resting heart rate, and that's dropped. Yeah. And you're feeling so much better. Your workouts are even improving, but they are so like honed in on that scale number. And they're like, but I'm not making progress. Like, look at this. This is saying I'm not making progress. So quality of life, I feel like it's harder to measure with a metric that gives us that feedback.
Absolutely. And I think so too. And I think we're so data driven and seeing numbers drop and being smaller, we lose sight of the bigger picture in like quality of life. So as coaches, it's our duty to praise our clients and let them know that they should be proud of the little things in life, just the little small non-scale victories and the little things no one has ever given them credit for doing, or they've never like thought to tell us that's shifted for them. And I'm like, hey, we need to be yelling at the rooftops. This is incredible. And I think just because the metric is always being smaller and always like the scale going down and things shrinking, that we lose sight of all of the incredible things that our body is doing for us on a regular basis. Like it's something. Again, everyone, we kind of have your tunnel vision on, and you're looking, you're like, okay, well, scale's not dropping. I'm not succeeding. And I ask on like some of my check-ins, and what are you most proud of from this past week? And I'm starting to see, like, as clients kind of get further along their journey with me, they're listing like 10 things that they're proud of. I'm like, yes, please. Like, I want you to boast. I want you to brag about yourself. I want you to see all the really cool things that are shifting in your life. And even at the beginning, they're like, well, I didn't have any proud moments from this week. I'm like, I said, I'm texting you right now, and I want you to dig in. I want you to tell me 3 things you're proud of. I just don't think they feel those aren't worthy. They're not worthy enough of praise, or they're not worthy enough to be acknowledged and be proud of, when in fact, like, just waking up is cool. I woke up, I'm here to live the day. Like that right there, I'm proud of that. I'm proud that I have my job, or I have a roof over my head. I am a mother, whatever it may be. Like, I think we're just up there undermining all the really important successes that they are having in their lives.
Yeah, it's a definition of progress, right? It's our job to help them change how they define it, because diet culture has one metric and that's the only one that matters. Not to mention, it says everything about our value and our self-worth. So we've got to break that down, but then say, wait a second, that can maybe be used, but it's like the lesser metric out of all of these that we could be tracking. So yeah. Tough, but so, so important.
Absolutely. And I think, and I've had... So clients have come to me like, I had 2 bad coaching experiences. Like, they've had poor coaching experiences, so they're afraid to invest a high dollar coach in, because they've been burnt. They've literally just been burnt in the past. So like, what's going to be different about this? So again, it's our duty as coaches to show our clients that they are valuable, and to show them that there's so much more to life than what they've been trying for the past 10 years. And we are, it sounds so cheesy or whatever, but it's a lifestyle. It's literally a lifestyle, because every facet of your life is going to play a role. Everything's interconnected. Somehow, some way, it's all touching each other. So we need to find homeostasis among all of them, among nutrition, sleep, exercise, mindset, relationships, everything. Like, that all needs to be in unison with each other before anything can truly happen and be sustainable. Even though just getting those in alignment is a huge success marker.
I want to dive into something you kind of referenced earlier when we're talking about progress, right? And you said, I want you to be able to, I forget exactly your quote, so I'm going to paraphrase, but like, basically, I want to be able to say yes to any adventure that crosses my path. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of time when I dig with my clients, like, what is it that you actually want at the end of the day? A number is not changing their life, right? It's not a number on the scale. It's not being afraid to ride like an amusement park ride with their kids because they're worried they're not going to fit in the seat, or not feeling like they have to decline a hike or some type of like athletic event because they don't have the stamina. Like, those are the things that we actually want to do so that we can show up in our lives. And I think to kind of pivot our conversation, Bethany, another thing that you speak to really well on your Instagram profile is using movement for fun and fulfillment, as opposed to diet culture, once again, typically preaches like it's all about the burn. You have to count the calories, and the more you exercise, the better. And even if you hate it, like, just get it in there. And I think your voice is so refreshing because you enjoy the movement that you do. But from what I see, you're always encouraging your clients to find new fun ways to make it just a part of your life and less like an obligation for, you know, the tracking, the metric on your Apple Watch or whatever it may be.
Absolutely. And I actually, before we got on this podcast, I did a post on this. So it's funny. Good timing on that one. I think, again, we've just been told that there's one perfect way of movement. You have to do it this way, and you have to do it just to burn calories. That's it. Like, that's bullshit. There are so many ways and cool ways to move our bodies. And I think the fear of not being good at it, it being hard, or going against what, like, society has told us is deterring people from doing it. Whether it's getting into mountain biking. I started mountain biking 2 years ago. I was like, oh, there's no way I can't do this. Like, I've never ridden a mountain bike before now. And I have clients now, like, I want to try mountain biking. I have random Instagram followers that said, I bought a mountain bike. I'm like, that's awesome. Just send it. Just go out and try it. Just move your body. They're like, you know, I'm getting kind of burnt out on lifting. I'm like, dude, that's cool. Then don't lift. Take a break. Go on walks, go grab a skateboard, go paddleboard, go trail running, go hiking. There's so many ways to move our bodies outside too. And like, just that outside element is something I really bring into my coaching and in my mission and in my voice, because I'm such an advocate for getting outdoors. Mm-hmm. The outdoors is restorative, and it's a place where there's no judgment. You go walk in nature, and Mother Nature wants you to come as you are. Like, just the raw form of you. It's a place where you can go, put one foot in front of the other, move your body, and just feel rejuvenated. So I'm a huge advocate for getting outside and just moving in a way that you enjoy. Because if you go to the gym every day and you hate it, what is the point? Even if society tells us we have to do this X, Y, and Z, if you hate doing something, don't do it. Find a way to still move your body, because it's very important, obviously, for health markers and to live long lives, but do it in a way that's sustainable, you enjoy. You should look forward to going to lift. You should look forward to going to run. You should look forward to going to swim or yoga or pickleball or whatever sport you want to do. You should look forward to doing these things. And if you're not, what's the point of doing them?
I couldn't agree more. And I think sometimes we get what you said at the beginning, we get so caught up in thinking there's one way we should work out. And often I hear it with running or, you know, some type of like circuit training that people see, well, she's being successful. And I think that circles back around to this big, ugly thing of comparison, but she's doing it. And so that must be the right option. And I think sometimes we forget that doing something we love and doing it more consistently and passionately gets us so much more progress, and not to mention quality of life gains, compared to doing something intermittently that we think we should do but actually hate. So I love seeing all your content on, and you do a lot about too, like, you know, how can I get steps, but in like a fun way, because everybody's stuck at home right now. So yeah, you're just always providing great content around that, and I love it.
Thanks. And it's kind of something I'm trying to, again, like, shift the way we're viewing exercise, again, as a means of like, hey, I feel really strong. I feel rejuvenated. I feel alive, versus, oh, I can now eat the carbs. I can now eat the cake. I burned my glass of wine off. Like, no, we don't earn food. We do not earn our food. We literally should be eating for life. Again, something I circle back to. We need to be eating and nourishing for life. And I think it's easy. That's why I tell people, I'm like, clean your social media feed up. If you're seeing these pit circuit, whatever workouts and all these ridiculous things, and you see the body that you want, she probably doesn't even do those workouts. She just posts those swipe videos in whatever clothing she wants to wear. And, oh, looks so cool, I want to do that. She probably doesn't do that regular, or she's genetically gifted, guys. Like, we cannot compare ourselves to strangers on the internet, because we do not know how they got there, how long they've been training for. Are they really only doing those HIIT workouts that get 10,000 likes because they're showing their butts on the internet? Like, it drives me bonkers. So I'm an advocate. I mean, I know some fantastic accounts that are posting like high quality, like, guys, these are really awesome training regimens to follow. But if it's not something you enjoy, then don't do it.
Yeah, amen. I just sent a Monday email to my squad today, and it was talking about that. Like, you are the only person who can protect your energy and protect your environment. And that means content. So if you're scrolling and you're seeing all these people, I just unfollowed, unfriended, I don't know, who knows, someone told me that I could lose 30 pounds in 30 days by drinking coffee, and she wanted to sell me on that. And I was like, I just don't need this in my life, you know?
And like, it's hard for us because we know what it takes to do the thing. And I sometimes catch myself, I'm like, I want to make a comment on that, but I'm like, it's not worth my time, not worth my energy. I will give my space and time to my clients and my followers that want to be here. They want to see what I have to say, and they want to implement it in their lives. So it's hard when I see things, I cringe. I'm like, I just wish this could get burned off the internet and no one ever had to buy your whatever shake protocol or your 21-day fat blasting thing, whatever you want to call it. I wish those would literally just evaporate off the internet, because we would just be such a more, the society would just be so much more like in unison and in calm. Like, the fitness industry, unfortunately, has shifted, I believe, in a way that, again, it's sexy. You're going to buy these hit workouts or whatever, these swipe videos, this 21-day training regimen because you want to look like her. Well, your cells and your genetic composition is nowhere near what she is, and you probably won't look like her, just FYI. So why not find something you literally are so stoked to do every day?
It's so true. You sound just like my husband, who's a personal trainer. I'm not going to put that on the internet. Like, no, absolutely not. Like, people need to do the boring basics, and you need to do it repeatedly, or you can't tell if you're progressing in the gym. And he's just so much like anti-fitness culture on the internet right now.
We need more of that. And I think people are looking for complexity. They're looking for really like big changes, when like simple is so much more effective in nutrition and in training. Like, the simple lifts, the simple programming, you're doing your compound lift, or you're doing a little conditioning at the end, or you're doing a push pull, whatever it is, simple progressive overload pattern is going to get you the most bang for your buck. And the nutrition, the basics. Well, what if I combine these two foods together because I heard they would help have this burning alkaline effect? I'm like, who told you that? Like, that is shenanigans. Like, no. Like, hey, let's eat a carb, fat, and a protein and a fiber source every meal. Boom, let's start there. Well, that's it? Yeah. Super easy. Just start there. And you're going to eat until you're like, you know what, I'm kind of full. This is great. I feel really good. If you're hungry again, eat a snack. Super easy. I think people are looking for this crazy complex formula. Some people are very data driven, which I get, but the Gen Pop in the clients that I'm working with, I'm like, guys, let's keep it super simple.
Yes, super simple. I always say consistency before complexity. We do not need to overcomplicate a situation that we want to sustain us for life. Like, it has to be basic. It has to be replicable, and it can't be overly complex if that's the case.
Yeah. And I think we already have so much stimulation in our life, and so many decisions that we're making, we live in a fight or flight space. Like, most of our day is just like on processing things, making decisions, talking to people, that we overlook the basics and the simplicity and the fact that if we autopilot all of our habits, we don't even have to think about them. We literally go to the fridge, we're like, boom, boom, pull the chicken out. I'm going to pull this rice out. I'm going to put some guacamole and salsa on top and have some tortilla chips. Didn't even think about it. You're like, cool, I already kind of had it pre-planned for the day because I knew this is going to make me feel good. I love it. We got to focus on getting those habits on autopilot, so that the simple habits on autopilot, so we can don't even have to worry about all the other things. Well, we have so many other things on top of that in life, like kids, dogs, jobs, whatever it may be. We need to rely on those powerful behaviors and habits that we've implemented in that foundation, so that we can just put them, again, just kind of cruise, because they just are literally in the back of our heads, just moving.
Yeah, life is hard enough. Nutrition doesn't have to be.
Yeah. I think yes, praise be.
Overly simple, complex to implement in real life, but it's so true.
Once you get there and you realize that you're like, that makes so much sense. This is so much easier. Like putting together meals, I was joking around, like my clients asked me for recipes. I'm like, guys, I don't have a recipe. I literally just throw things in a bowl and make it delicious. Like that's it. Just put some sauce on it or some spices. Like some people love recipes. That's great. I don't have the brain for it. Like I'm not a recipe person, but when it comes down to it, like guys, just carb, fat, protein, fiber source, build your meal, move on with the day.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't have to be overly complex. I'm the same way. I'm not a recipe gal. Yeah. Like minimal time in the kitchen, as long as I can get something really tasty on the other side of it.
How fast can I get out of the kitchen?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Bethany, you and I were talking before we went live here and said that we already feel like we're friends, even though we have only known each other on Instagram. And I feel like today's podcast episode only ingrained that we definitely need to meet in person at some point, because just so much alignment makes my heart so happy to have other coaches like yourself preaching the good word out on Instagram, where it is, and social media in general, just a whirlwind, always a battle. But I will continue to be that black sheep with you preaching the unsexy.
My girl.
Love it. Bethany, to wrap us up, tell people how they can find you and continue getting amazing value from you.
You can find me predominantly on Instagram at Bethany Cora Taylor. So I'm sure just follow Nicole.
We'll drop it in the show notes.
In the show notes. I post a lot of stuff on my stories. I'm posting content 4-ish days a week. So it's kind of a plethora of a blend of nutrition education, but then it has a lot of mindset stuff in it. So Instagram is my big one. It's a really cool platform. I'm very grateful that I have it, because again, I've gotten to meet people like you. I've gotten to just reach more people and spread the good word.
Love it. Thank you so much, Bethany. This was so powerful.
I had a blast. Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Anytime.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com, where you can sign up for my weekly emails, where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.